It is Friday, August the 24th. This is VOA's International Edition. Good to have you with us. Coming up, the new U.S. envoy to North Korea, plus 1 year anniversary of the crackdown on Rohingyas with children caught in the middle.
At the moment, we have 500,000 children in camps in Bangladesh, 360,000 children in Northeast Rakhine State.
President Trump has a warning about his possible impeachment.
I think the market would crash. I think everybody would be very poor, because without this thinking, you would see numbers that you wouldn't believe.
Latest U.S. warning to Russia, plus a little something from the world of music. Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Norman. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has named Ford Vice President Stephen Biegun as Special Representative to North Korea. The executive and former national security staffer is joining the administration at a time of intense focus on U.S. efforts to force North Korea to dismantle its nuclear weapons program. Mr. Pompeo spoke about the appointment.
Steve is taking the reins of a great team effort. The State Department has already done excellent work in implementing and sustaining the pressure campaign, putting together the first ever leader-level summit in Singapore, and laying the groundwork to hold North Korea accountable to the promises that Chairman Kim has made.
And Stephen Biegun also spoke.
The issues are tough, and they will be tough to resolve. But the President has created an opening, and it's one that we must take by seizing every possible opportunity to realize the vision for a peaceful future for the people of North Korea.
At Ford, Biegun oversaw the carmaker's international government relations. Tomorrow marks the one-year anniversary of the security crackdown in Rakhine State in western Myanmar, also known as Burma, that sparked a mass exodus of Rohingya Muslims to Bangladesh, with reports suggesting that flight is continuing. An estimated 700,000 are in temporary housing and relief camps in southern Bangladesh. Yet another 600,000 are believed to still be in Myanmar. Their plight has been likened to ethnic cleansing by the United Nations and the U.S. Myanmar reached a repatriation agreement with Bangladesh, but conditions are such that Rohingya have often been too frightened to return. This week, Myanmar State Councilor and de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi said Myanmar is ready to welcome back the returnees, but they have to be sent back by Bangladesh. Meantime, the UN Children's Agency has warned a lost generation of Rohingya children. Simon Ingram is a spokesman.
Because it isn't just the 500,000 or so children on the Bangladeshi side of the border, but it's also those who are still left behind in Rakhine State, whose access to education is patchy at best and highly limited. So we really are talking about a whole generation of Rohingya children whose education, whose hopes of learning, the basic skills that they need to make a success of their lives, to achieve anything in their lives and contribute to their community's future, is in jeopardy.
Monique Skidmore is a professor and deputy vice chancellor at the University of Tasmania in Australia. She tells VOA's Victor Beatty 1 year after security forces reportedly responded to a series of militant attacks by going on a rampage of killing, torture, and rape and the burning of entire villages, there are no signs of compromise or change.
So at the moment we have 500,000 children in camps in Bangladesh, 360,000 children in Northeast Rakhine State, no access to international agencies or monitors. We have Aung San Suu Kyi in Singapore giving a lecture, reviewing her first 2 years of being in power in Myanmar, refusing to use the name of the Rohingya, talking about the generals in the cabinet as rather sweet individuals, and talking about the security terrorist challenge that they faced in Rakhine State, and saying that unilaterally she cannot repatriate the Rohingya, but this really depends upon a joint effort with Bangladesh. So that leaves this generation of children traumatized with no security, no citizenship, and no repatriation so far.
One report from Reuters suggests that the refugee flow out of Myanmar into Bangladesh continues even today.
It appears that the Rohingya exodus occurs across most borders, not just the Bangladesh borders. There doesn't seem to be any interest by the government in repatriating the Rohingya in Rakhine State. And as Aung San Suu Kyi mentioned in her speech in Singapore, that they had mapped out some areas for the Rohingya to go to. But that, of course, is not going to make anyone go back to a situation in which the military refuses to accept accountability and in which Aung San Suu Kyi seems unwilling or perhaps unable to do anything to try and guarantee the security of any Rohingya who remain in Rakhine State.
You mentioned the children. The UN Children's Agency on Thursday warned of what it described as a lost generation of Muslim Rohingya children to a lack of education, to disease and floods.
And I think they are trying at the moment to increase the amount of education in the camps in Bangladesh to include up to 14-year-old children. So that would be an increase to try and do something to provide basic numeracy and literacy for a generation of children who have had such limited access to education when they're in Burma and very little, if any, access in the preceding year.
Likening it to Indonesia, I spoke to one analyst who suggested that the international community, which is sanctioning members of the military, are pressing Myanmar to change too quickly, that it's going to take time like it is doing in Indonesia, where it's taken decades to return to civilian rule.
I suppose it's a question as to whether you believe that the prevalent attitudes towards the Rohingya are simply going to evaporate over time. What we're seeing, especially on places like platforms like Facebook, is awful hate speech, nationalist rhetoric, Buddhist fundamentalist rhetoric, and very little interest in changing that. So there have even been thoughts that the increase of social media platforms would bring a new openness to the country, and yet it's acting as a source to channel and intensify these long-held racist beliefs against the Rohingya. So I'm not sure that we can say that we're seeing any changes yet to openness and transparency, to any decrease in racism. And certainly there's been no move that I can see to change the constitution to remove the generals, and that is the major obstacle to ongoing democracy in Burma.
At University of Tasmania's Monique Skidmore speaking with VOA's Victor Beatty. This is VOA.
Hi, this is Rick Pantaleo. Coming up on our next edition of Encounter, John Glazer from the Cato Institute and Edward Fishman from the Atlantic Council will join me to talk about recent sanctions imposed by the U.S. on Iran and Russia. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Savor the flavor of African music. I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is VOA's International Edition. President Trump has begun to speak publicly about the possibility he could be impeached. That's a process by which Congress can begin to remove a president from office. In an appearance on Fox News, Mr. Trump said the stock markets could suffer the most under such an impeachment.
I'll tell you what, if I ever got impeached, I think the market would crash. I think everybody would be very poor. Because without this thinking, you would see numbers that you wouldn't believe.
Mr. Trump then questioned how he could be impeached when he has, in his words, done a great job. The talk of impeachment for President Trump surfaced again this week after two of the president's close associates became convicted felons. Former Trump attorney Michael Cohen pleaded guilty to campaign finance law violations in connection with hush money payments to two women who he said, or they said, had affairs with Donald Trump before he became president. In addition, former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort was convicted, that is, of fraud charges not related to the 2016 presidential campaign. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone reports that the twin legal bombshells are likely to add to Mr. Trump's political woes ahead of a crucial midterm congressional election in November.
At the White House, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders stood by the president's assertion that he did nothing wrong.
As the president has stated on numerous occasions, he did nothing wrong. There are no charges against him in this. And just because Michael Cohen made a plea deal doesn't mean that that implicates the president on anything.
In court Tuesday, Cohen said he was acting on orders from then-presidential candidate Trump when he paid off two women to keep them quiet shortly before the election. Cohen's attorney, Lanny Davis, said his client may also have information related to the Russia probe, led by special counsel Robert Mueller.
It's my observation that what he knows, that he witnessed, will be of interest to the special counsel. That's my opinion. We'll see.
At a rally in West Virginia Tuesday, Trump again blasted the news media and the Russia probe.
Fake news and the Russian witch hunt. We got a whole big combination. Where is the collusion? You know, they're still looking for collusion. Where is the collusion?
Trump's supporters, like Patty Beavers, are sticking with him.
He's putting America first. He's keeping his promises, just like he said. And I really believe that he will continue on.
Democrats were eager to highlight a new line of attack in the wake of the Cohen and Manafort cases, led by Senate leader Chuck Schumer.
What a swamp. What a swamp. Far worse than the swamp that existed when President Trump took over. He has not cleaned the swamp. He has made it more wretched and more fetid.
The legal cloud hovering above the Trump White House appears to be darkening, says analyst Laura Brown.
There is a sense that momentum is building in both, you know, special counsel Mueller's case, but also with regard to sort of the more questions around corruption and the president, which was revealed with Michael Cohen's plea.
There's also the sense of an embattled president fighting on several fronts at once, says Julie Pace.
We don't know what this will mean for Trump's presidency. We don't know if we will see Republicans and voters turn their back on him. But this is a more serious situation than I think he has found himself in at earlier points in his presidency.
But the legal and political fallout is still a long way from being determined, says Paul Schiff Berman.
Does that mean that he will be impeached? Not necessarily. That's a political process. Does that mean that his supporters will stop supporting him? Not necessarily. That's a question of politics as well.
And speaking of politics, it's now clear that the legal problems involving Cohen and Manafort will be an issue in the November congressional elections where Democrats are favored to make gains. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
U.S. National Security Advisor told Russian officials they can avoid new sanctions from the U.S. by not trying to meddle in American elections. AP's Warren Levinson is following the story.
National Security Advisor John Bolton says he pressed his Russian counterpart in a Geneva meeting about election interference.
I made it clear that we wouldn't tolerate meddling.
He added the Russians will face no new sanctions if they stop. Bolton says he got no reaction at all when he raised the issue with Nikolai Petrushev. As far as consequences, if they don't stop, Bolton said the focus is on making sure there's no repetition of 2016. Asked whether the political turmoil generated by the convictions this week of two top Trump figures has any effect on his job, Bolton said,
"Of course not. I mean, that's a silly question."
I'm Warren Levinson.
And later in the program, the sounds of John Legend.
Visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
U.S.-based International Relief and Development has transferred some schools it constructed to Jordan's government, part of a long-term plan to build dozens of new schools and renovate hundreds of additional schools over several years. These state-of-the-art facilities were funded by USAID, that's part of the U.S. State Department. IRD's program director in Jordan, Rula Abdulkish Katuda, spoke with me about the schools, which she says will educate thousands of young people.
The Ministry of Education did an assessment to identify locations for prospective schools, for areas where there were no schools. Children either had to make a long commute, and usually it was by walking, or where current conditions had it that they were rented buildings and they were doing double shifts and very overcrowded facilities. So yes, the majority of these schools were built in areas where there were no facilities for the students to go to, and especially for girls. I mean, out of the eight schools we built, six are for girls, which is wonderful, because prior to having these schools in their own communities, girls either got to a certain age and then had no access to formal education.
When I say state-of-the-art, these truly are top-notch, very modern schools, are they not?
Yes, they are.
And so
they have all the amenities that I think we recently had visitors from USAID come, and from our own headquarters in the States come, and they all commented that these schools are nicer than the ones that they even went to. The libraries and the labs and the spacious classrooms and the lighting and the playgrounds and computer rooms and community, like on the multipurpose hall where they can have functions and where Samah people and their program do a lot of their community work. There's fully accessible to handicapped people, which until this, these people, persons with handicaps, were completely marginalized.
That is Rula Abdulkish Katuda, IRD's Jordan Schools Project Director. This is VOA.
This is BizBeat.
16 million visitors have come to see Japan this year so far, with a record number of guests in June. And in Tokyo, a new way to see the busy city, go-kart tours with Maricar. Customer Mike Pyle.
I think the go-karts are way faster than what you normally would think of with a go-kart. These things are pretty much like little cars. So I thought that was probably the biggest thing that I wasn't expecting.
Catherine Ishii is the reservation manager at Maricar.
We have a lot of people from the U.S. We do have a lot of customers from other countries as well.
Ishii says the typical age for tourists riding the go-karts range from ages of 22 and 34.
I am genuinely surprised as how fast we grew.
A company that began with a one-shop location, Maricar now has seven around Tokyo, with offices also in Okinawa, Osaka, Kyoto, and Mount Fuji. For VOA's BizBeat, I'm Philip Alexio.
This is VOA's International Edition. Good to have you with us today. It's time now, right now, for a little something from the world of music.
I'm in love with you, but this ain't the honeymoon. Past the infatuation phase, right in the thick of love. At times we get sick of love. It seems like we argue every day. I know I misbehaved, and you made your mistakes, and we both still got room left to grow. And though love sometimes hurts, I still put you first, and we'll make this thing work. But I think we should take it slow. We're just ordinary people.
John Legend is an American singer, songwriter, and actor. His debut album in 2004 was a big hit. It sold more than 3 million copies and made it to double platinum. It also won the Grammy Award for Best R&B Album, plus Best New Artist and Best Male R&B Vocal Performance for Legend's slow, single, Ordinary take People.
It slow, oh, 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 this time we'll take it slow. This ain't a movie, no, no fairy tale conclusion, y'all. It gets more confusing every day. Sometimes it's heaven sent, then we head back to hell again. We kiss, then we make up on the way. I hang up, you call, we rise and we fall, and we feel like just walking away. As our love advances, we take second chances. Though it's not a fantasy, I still want you to stay. We're just ordinary people.
John Legend was born in 1978 in the U.S. state of Ohio and was homeschooled by his mother on and off throughout his childhood. He was offered admission to Harvard University, but decided to attend the University of Pennsylvania, where he studied English with an emphasis on African-American literature. And while in college, Legend served as president and musical director of the co-ed jazz and pop a cappella group, Counterparts. And in 2013, after having collaborated with many established artists, Legend earned a Billboard Hot 100 number one single with All of Me.
What would I do without your smart mouth? Drawing me in and you kicking me out. You got my head spinning, no kidding. I can't pin you down. What's going on in that beautiful mind? I'm on your magical mystery ride. And I'm so dizzy, don't know what hit me, but I'll be all right. My head's underwater, but I'm breathing fine. You're crazy and I'm out of my mind. 'Cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. Oh, how many times do I have to tell you? Even when you're crying, you're beautiful too. The world is beating you down. I'm around through every mood. You're my downfall, you're my muse. My worst distraction, my rhythm and blues. I can't stop singing, it's ringing in my head for you.
In 2007, Legend received the Hal David Starlight Award from the Songwriters Hall of Fame. In 2017, he received a Tony Award for co-producing the play Jitney for the Broadway stage. And in 2015, John Legend won the Academy Award for Best Original Song for his composition Glory from the film Selma about the American Civil Rights Movement.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
On Easter Sunday in 2018, John Legend portrayed Jesus Christ in the NBC television adaptation of the rock opera Jesus Christ Superstar, for which he received an Emmy Award nomination. John is married to Chrissy Teigen, an American model and author. They have two children.
Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh,
yeah, amazing, amazing song. I can see why it got an Academy Award. Hey, listen, many thanks, everyone, for joining us here on The Voice of America for International Edition. Up next will be the latest world news, and we hope you'll stay with us. For our director, Tracy Carter, and engineer, Dave Magnus, I'm Steve Norman. We're all in Washington, hoping you have a super Friday. Now, some more from John Legend and the rapper known as Common.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes,
next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On August 4th, explosives aboard two drones flying near Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro as he spoke in Caracas were detonated. Seven people were injured. Maduro has used the incident as a pretext to crack down on Venezuela's opposition by unleashing the regime's secret police. State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert said the United States condemns the political violence that occurred on August 4th and urges the Maduro regime to respect the rule of law, exercise restraint, and safeguard the presumption of innocence for all accused. The Venezuelan government's response to this incident has been to arbitrarily detain some individuals and a failure to follow due process. In addition, there have been violations of parliamentary immunity, which is protected by Venezuela's constitution. The United States condemns the alleged use of torture to elicit confessions. Ms. Nauert said, "We join the international community in calling for an independent expert commission to investigate the August 4th incident. We urge the Maduro regime to respect the human rights of all persons detained in Venezuela and reiterate our call for the immediate release of all those who are arbitrarily detained, including political prisoners." The government of Venezuela is responsible for the widespread instability and suffering in Venezuela. The Maduro regime has systematically stripped millions of Venezuelans of their basic rights as citizens and limited their access to food, medical care, and basic security, said Ms. Nauert. We encourage the Maduro regime to accept international assistance and pursue policies that alleviate the humanitarian crisis and restore democratic freedoms. the United States stands with the Venezuelan people in their dream of living free in a prosperous and democratic country.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.